From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 28th day of November 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Dan O'Brien will be here to take up the agricultural energies. He's from K-State out in Kansas. And from right here on this campus, we'll talk with Todd Hubbs. He's been taking a look at the acreage battle, or maybe not so much a battle, but just an overrun of both corn and soybeans that could take place next year. And as we wrap up our time together, we'll talk with Don Day at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, to discuss some cold air that's going to be making its way next week into the Midwest and the Great Plains. And it all happens right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. From Illinois Public Media, it's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, you're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Tuesday afternoon. Wayne Nelson is here. He's from L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Hey, good afternoon to you, Wayne. Thanks for being with us today.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, let's talk a little bit about this marketplace and what's been happening and your expectations as we go into the month of December.
Well, of course, we had options go off the board on Friday. We come on in and looked here at the beginning of the week. We saw a little technical, deterioration in the corn because there's just a lot of corn out there and nothing really to perk us on up a little bit. And, of course, first notice day coming yet this week. So it looks like they were going to try to take things down towards some of the old lows that we had in September. So, that would be 338 basis in March and 365 basis in July and 381 basis December. But, we thought we would try to maybe hold the beans. They were trying to get back in their up above their trend line, upward moving lines, and just couldn't get that done. And I think that the beans, along with the wheat business we lost to Australia, just sort of set the tone, and down we go for all the guys that had to get out of their Dease corn before deliveries here at the end of on Thursday.
Are your expectations that we'll continue to move lower this week, or are we trading sideways? Where do we go for the next couple of days?
I think in here we're probably going to chop around. We'll probably trade both sides here Wednesday and Thursday, but a little biased to the downside. We didn't get any great news from the USD on their baseline. A lot of us were sort of figuring the way that the beans were figuring that we'd see a little cut in corn acres. They left the corn acres at 91 million and the bean acres at 91 million. And, that does put basically the carryout at a 2.6 for next year and a 376 million for the beans. So not a lot to work with for a big rally there. But I think after we get deliveries out of the way that we've got a chance for a little bit of a pop up and things. We don't look for a great big pop because we get too much. I think there's a lot of guys that would like to sell some grain and get a little money before the end of the year and that way. But all in all, I think that we're going to stabilize here by the end of the week and at least move to a sideways to better market than this lower market we've been seeing.
Are we still concerned about weather in Argentina?
Oh, we're very concerned. We want to use that wonderful word La Nina as often as possible. We do have some pockets down there, and they're not getting as good as everything would like to, but they're getting just enough now to not make it a disaster yet. But some of the extended forecasts are offering a little opportunity for some problems to happen down there. We are looking very forward to the next round of forecast that tells us that maybe it's even a little higher than the 65% that the last time they said that we can maybe be in a 75% or 80% chance of a La Nina year for South America.
Anything else that we ought to take up for the day?
I think after the baseline and like that, they did make a comment that it does look like it's going to be a very good chance that we will see a 0.25% interest raise in December. So that's another thing sort of weighing on things.
Thanks so much, Wayne.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Hey, don't forget, the week prior to Christmas, I'll be on the road with the agricultural economist across the state for the Illinois Farm Economic Summit. You can learn all the details online at farmdocdaily.illinois. You'll need to get registered for that program, so don't wait. Do it right now at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Look for the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. It may be under the heading IFES, I-F-E-S. One of the people that will be out with us is Todd Hubbs, Commodity Market Specialist. He's written a new article for that Farm Doc Daily website. Talks about acreage and what his expectations might be for the coming year. Todd, acreage in the United States for all cropland tends to go up and down, I think, over a 10-year period by about 10 million acres. How do you see next year playing out?
It's been in that range. We had, 318 million acres planted last year, and that's the highest since about 2011, which was around 315 million acres. So we see this little fluctuation in that range. Last year, we saw a substantial decline in planted acreage across all principal crops out in the Plain States. Texas lost about 500,000 acres. Kansas lost a lot of, North and South Dakota. While they added corn and soybean acres, North Dakota added corn, added a lot of soybean acres. South Dakota added a lot of soybean acres. Overall, their total principal crop planted acres were down. In the Corn Belt last year, we actually saw, except for the state of Illinois, most of the Corn Belt states increased acreage slightly, but it wasn't huge amounts in most places, but it was there. As I'm looking forward to 2018, I think planted acreage across all principal crops will be steady, maybe to slightly lower, but not much lower. I think a lot of the acreage adjustment in the Plain States happened last year. I'm not sure we will see another huge drawdown, mainly driven by the loss of wheat acres. I don't see that happening again. I could be wrong. This is, we're in the speculative part of the acreage in 2018 season, so this is how I'm sort of seeing it break out. So for me, when I look forward to 2018, I see, moderate increases in corn and soybean acreage. The market right now is saying, at a minimum, do what you did for soybeans in 2017 currently. And, there's been a lot of surveys going around where, market advisory services and other people, media have been surveying farmers, and it's been varied on soybean and wheat acreage. Some have said up, some have said down, on the direction and magnitude. But every survey has come back and said increase corn acreage. I haven't seen one that hasn't said that yet. And, I think this is a function of rotating out of those huge soybean acreage last year for a lot of people. And, some of these corn acreage may have been a little bit more profitable than we thought going into it. So, big picture, under the current market scenario, I see moderate expansion of corn and soybean acreage, maybe a moderate decline in wheat acreage. We'll see with the winter wheat seedings report coming out January 12th. There's just a whole bevy of reports coming out on January 12th that are going to give us a lot of information about where we're heading in 2018. So as we look forward, I see more acreage for corn and soybeans. They've been taking acreage from almost every other crop all across the country for the last few years, and I don't see that stopping anytime soon.
This is part and parcel of the market. Part and parcel of farm safety programs, of crop insurance. How do you view the expansion?
I think it's mostly market driven. The price ratios that we look at and the price levels for most of these crops, you talk to farmers or you hear interviews with farmers out on the plains, they'll tell you there's no return in wheat. And if there's no return in wheat, you're going to plant something. You're going to probably plant, if you can, corn and soybeans. And I think that's the case for a lot of crops across the board. So when you look at the crops that actually expanded acreage last year, other than soybeans, it was cotton, rye, peanuts, and canola. and those were very moderate expansions, but those are very specialized crops to very specialized regions. So everybody that can seems like planting soybeans or corn when you look across the large chunk of acreage in the country. And I think this year that may continue. Now, between now and planting, there's a lot that can happen. You know, I try to talk about in the piece, like, where we're looking at demand in the 17-18 mark year for corn and soybeans. We've had really strong demand for ethanol and corn use for ethanol. We're grinding above last year's pace. I think there's good feed demand out there based on the livestock numbers we've been seeing and the relative, you know, the prices in livestock markets recently. The one that's worrying me is the export market. We're lagging behind last year's pace significantly in corn. And we have all that policy uncertainty out there regarding NAFTA and what that may do if we pull out of that to both corn in particular, but we can't forget we export a lot of soybeans to Mexico as well. So this isn't just a corn thing, but corn's really going to be hit if that kind of shock happens. That's all in front of us, right? And it may happen before planting. It will happen probably before planting one way or another. So we could see a completely different price structure come time to roll the planters. I'm worried about the NAFTA pullout quite a bit, because it's really hard to say what kind of shock that will be. But it's not going to be good, I know that much. So we'll see how that works out for us. Soybeans are the same way. We're off to strong crush. I think that might continue when we look at oil and meal demand. But it's coming back down to exports, and we're lagging behind last year's export numbers as well. We've heard a lot about China importing a lot of soybeans, but we're not ahead of last year's pace. So to hit that number USDA said, you know, that crop that's being planted in South America now is going to go a long way to determine if we're going to set some kind of record high soybean export number. And right now, we're not on pace to do that. So there's a lot going on, and a lot will occur between now and planting. But as of right now, I see a moderate expansion of corn and soybean acres. If I was going to put a number on it, I feel like maybe 200,000 to 300,000 more acres of soybeans. And I'm going to like the 91.7 to 92 million acres of corn.
Thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
That, of course, is Todd Hubbs. He's an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. You can see his pennies on the Farm Doc Daily website. Todd posted an article there most every Monday afternoon. Now let's turn our attention to the agricultural energies. Dan O'Brien is here. He's from K-State. He's also an agricultural economist. Hey, Dan, thanks for being with us today.
Yes, Todd. How's it going?
Oh, very, very well. It was a beautiful weekend, fantastic holiday. Hope things were good in Kansas. I kind of think they probably were, and that you're bracing yourself for next week. I've already talked with Don Day. We'll hear a bit from him in a moment, but looks like it's going to turn cold, and I think you might be in the brunt of it there.
Well, I would say that we had a lot of late harvested fields in the last week or so when we'd normally be freezing. A lot colder than we were, with a lot more moisture, was really welcome for a lot of people, especially in the Western Plains, who had to catch up on their harvest.
Hey, I've got one quick question, because USDA did release some updated numbers, projections that they'll eventually use at the in February when they really take a hard look. But these are the baseline numbers for acreage. They're at 91, I think, for both corn and soybeans. Do you see Kansas producers planting more soybeans next year at all?
Given the lack of profitability of some of our other cropping alternatives, no doubt, yes. And our challenge is that we're struggling so much in our hard red winter wheat price and profitability projections that we're continually pushing soybeans, corn, and grain sorghum farther and farther to the west. Now, corn and grain sorghum have already been there, but we're considering soybeans all that much more on irrigated cropland down the western part of the state. And we have been considering soybeans as really kind of a risky proposition with the hot, austere conditions that we can get in August late July on into August out in the Western Plains. But the profitability possibilities are at least closer to break even, if not covering full cost with soybeans as opposed to our other crops. So I don't doubt that we'll be pretty proactive in trying to plant soybeans wherever we can here in Kansas and other likewise states.
So for a decade at least, Kansas has been in the transition from being a wheat state to being a state that raises other crops. Corn in particular was the beginning of that process. Ethanol played a big role in it. We'd like to talk a little bit about that today. What's profitability look like for the ethanol industry?
Well, we've crunched the numbers so far for what we've had in terms of input output prices for November, and we're still covering costs, but barely, and that's better than losing lots of money. So anyway, at least with that, it looks like on the ethanol side that we're still making about 2 to 3 cents per gallon for profitability on ethanol. And that, again, this is looking at plants in the primarily the Iowa parts of Illinois type area. So plugging in numbers for that, and again, we're looking at moderate profitability, and even biodiesel holding up decently at about 1 cent per gallon, at least by our estimate. What's been happening, it looks like, on the biodiesel side is the cost has been of course moving up some, but we've seen just enough increase in price of biodiesel to cover on that. So again, 2 cents per gallon, continuing a run of about on the biodiesel side of about five to six months in a row where they've had moderate to small profits, and you know, that's a good survival strategy. And kind of looking back at the ethanol side, again, we've been covering costs now for about 4 months in a row. It'd been 8 to 10 cents in about 3 and 4 months ago, but then last month, still three or so cents, and here 1 or 2 cents now by our estimates anyway, at least so far in the month of November. So I guess you take that as a net positive. Ethanol production, and looking at the weekly EIA numbers, Energy Information Agency figures, again, we're running up, at least by our figures, to the high, I think, you look at these numbers, Todd, you want to make sure you're making your statements accurately, but it looks like our rate of ethanol production was at a record high the last complete week that we've seen data for at November the 17th. So, low corn prices, decent gasoline and energy market prices on that side, and even some positive trends on distillers' grains are all adding up to still holding up to the place where we're covering costs, at least by our estimates, in ethanol production. Long term, that's all for the good. You know, we're trying to move through piles of corn and set ourselves up for some better prices out in the spring. And to the degree we can use these as many supplies as possible on the corn side, that's all good.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Thanks, Todd. Take care.
Dan O'Brien is with Kansas State University. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Tuesday afternoon. Don Day is here. He's with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don. Thanks for being with us.
Great to be here, Todd.
Let's start, Don, right here in our part of the world. I think in much of the country, in fact, the weather has just been fantastic. What do you see as we move into the month of December?
What I see is winter coming in and coming in with a fair amount of force. The pattern that we've been in the month of November has really kept the real cold weather across the far northern plains and the far northern parts of the U.S., while the rest of the U.S., other parts of the nation really have gone through a pretty easy November. But as we get into December, and we're going to start to see this late this weekend and early next week, there's some things lining up in the stratosphere over the Arctic, out in the Pacific Ocean with some changing conditions out there that will really direct a lot of cold air into the nation's midsection. We're going to see this with a winter-like storm coming out of the Rockies and Plains Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week. That's going to be followed by what will look like a pretty big surge of colder air late next week and the following weekend that will go from the Rockies through the Corn Belt, to the Great Lakes and the East Coast. We're pretty confident that this flip to much colder weather is coming together. It's a pattern we've seen before in similar situations. So folks need to get ready to change gears. It's going to be a lot more like winter in 10 days as compared to like fall.
And well, a lot more like winter. Does that mean 25 degrees or 5 degrees?
Number one, the trend is to much colder. Number two is I do think that the possibility of going not just colder but far below normal temperature-wise, single digits and teens for overnight lows is in the cards. Nothing short-term. We're talking about something that's 10, 15, 20 days out. But this is going to be certainly a lot colder than normal. At least that potential is there.
And then let's take a look in the Dakotas in particular, some of the Great Plains states closer to you, where there's a lot of livestock that we'll be concerned with on that, especially if there's much of a winter storm. Any problems that you see there?
Oh, I certainly think livestock interests really do need to be prepared for this shifting gears because that it has been warmer and drier. The quick change over to much cold from the Dakotas and the northern plains states through the upper Midwest should definitely be prepared.
All right. Now, turn your attention to South America, Argentina in particular. They suffered through about a month's worth of dry conditions in some of the primary growing regions. What do you see?
Well, I certainly see that the eastern and northeastern areas of the country that are the driest, that is the area that we're watching for and hoping for some precipitation over the next week to 10 days, because across South America, it does look like some pretty good rains for areas of Brazil. And some of those rains will also affect some of the central and western and northern areas of Argentina, getting some of those northern areas that are dry. But the northeast growing areas of Argentina look like they're not going to be in store for as much rain as some other areas of the country. So while there is help in the central and the west and the north, the eastern areas are going to be still looking at some dry conditions.
Hey, Don, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Tuesday afternoon. Helps us wrap up our program. Don't forget to visit our website, willag.org, and to go to Farm Doc Daily as well. That's farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. There you can pick up your tickets for the Illinois Farm Economic Summits. We'll be visiting five cities across the state late in the month of December. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.